Gospel reading. Is this on? Gospel reading for today. Is this on? Well, come on, is it? All right, thank you. Or you get mad when we go over time, but the gospel reading for today is from Luke in the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And yet you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" In our hearing, our speaking, our living. Not about to cry, I'm just suppressing coughs. Although crying would help. This has been a week of bad news. Bookended by a plane crash and a massacre. I think it's clear that assault weapons are not the problem in the plane crash. Words fail. So much has been said, so many tears have been shed, candles lit and prayers offered. Now what? People who hate other groups of people should not have guns. People who talk about and spread issues of hate should not have the chance to do so in public. Of course, it's not that easy. In a democracy, we don't lock up people because they are fools, tempting as it may be. For a while yesterday, the headline on the New York on the New York Times website read, "New Zealand massacre fueled by extremist hate." It didn't say what type of extremist, but I've never heard of a progressive extremist shooting people with a weapon of war because they hate others. Liberals write letters, chant, protest. Liberals have angst. The young man in New Zealand told the world he was angry, just like the others who commit such horrific acts. Mass murderers show no angst. May God forgive us for our failure to call out, challenge, push back against the hate mongers and extremists of any type. There was a quote also moving around the internet. We had it after 9/11, after Paris, after the nightclub shooting in Florida. We are all Muslims. Big transition now. part two. Last week in my family, it was mostly a week of bad news. It wasn't a very good week. Our family had a plan. We'd thought this through carefully. Now, the plan was for me to be here today, but the plan was for me last week to fly to Birmingham, where I was going to help take care of our daughter Megan and our grandson Will. And from there, the three of us down there were going to drive to Holden Beach, which is actually a shorter distance than Greensboro to Birmingham, going to Holden Beach, where Julie had a beach house. She had a beach house because she was going to be preaching there this Sunday. But things happened. First, I got sick. Then Julie's sister got sick and needed emergency surgery last Sunday. And she's well now. She's recovering out of the hospital. And then on Thursday, Julie got sick. So our plan failed spectacularly. Life can come at you fast. And you know, how many of you have had or have had a loved one in your household been sick with flu? My God, I can name more of you than that. That's it. Wow, Julie kept saying, ticking off person after person last week who said, oh, so-and-so sick, so-and-so sick. So a lot of people have had the flu, or in my case have had not the flu. God has a way about things. Want to make God laugh, make a plan. And because so many of us have been sick, I know I have no bragging rights. I know I should tell no war stories. But what the heck? Monday, I spent 10 hours at the emergency room. Don't worry. I went because I wasn't, not because I was sick. I was sick. I went because I felt dizzy. Now here I am sick, coughing. Oh, terrible. Weak, chest hurts, dizzy. I checked my blood pressure, knowing it would be low. It was really high. What I should have done was take another nap. But instead, what I did was I figured, well, Julie's at Wesley Long anyway. I'll just go on over to the emergency room. The response to my text to her saying, here I am, was a question mark. And I was seen. You see the triage person, okay, you're breathing, and then I went out, and they said, come on back for a chest x-ray, which is really why I went. I knew I needed the chest x-ray to make sure I didn't have pneumonia, and I don't have pneumonia. Had that, and then about 7 o'clock, saw another nurse to make sure I was still breathing, and I sat, and oh my gosh, the misery that was all around Julie and me was just amazing. We really need to do something about health care. So 8 hours after me repeatedly saying to her, you should go home, and thinking to myself, I really should go home too. This isn't worth it. I was called back. I said to myself, a minute too late. And I go back and I get in the room and I have 30 minutes of fussing over and tests and conversations and touch my nose, touch my finger, touch my nose, touch my finger. Can you do this? Can you do this? All of these things. So I could wait 90 more minutes so the nurse could say, well, you know what? You're fine. Your blood tests are normal. Your blood pressure's come down. You're not coughing as much. I said, well, you know, I actually do feel better. She said, everything is okay. Now, I know. You know me, and you know I'm not okay. But they didn't do those tests. It was touch my nose, touch your finger. I feel like I've turned the corner. I feel better. I guess I'm about 75%. And wait till next week when you hear about Julie's week. Because surely she got sick from people coughing in the emergency room while she's sitting there with me. She finally put on a mask herself. Too late. Life can come at you fast. Big transition. I got yelled at for big transitions my last sermon. Transition. Abraham was a traveler. Kind of big, right? Abraham was a traveler. Imagine what it was like for him to wake up one day and have God say, Abram, let's go. Let's go on a trip. Let's take a walk. It was a long walk from Ur to Haran, where Abram first settled, 300 miles. Like going from Atlanta to Bristol, Tennessee. That's a long walk with your people and your livestock. On foot. And it probably took half a year. And then Abram moved from Haran to Shechem, just north of Jerusalem. Another 200 miles. Sort of like walking from Bristol to Greensboro. And then the narrative said he ranged from Shechem into the Negev, which is another 50, 60 miles, like walking, well, 40, 50 miles, like walking from here to the outlet shops at Mebane. It was a long journey. Abraham went on this walk with God because God made Abram a great offer. And God really didn't expect much in return. It must have sounded like a pretty cool deal. I'll make you the father of all nations, and blah, 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 blah. And then in chapter 15, where we are now, God said, Abram, I'm your shield. Your reward will be great. But Abram wasn't satisfied. God, Abram said, what will you do for me? Isn't that what it said? What will you do for me? As if we could say that today. What are you doing for me, God? I'm childless. I have no heir. And you notice what God said back? Look to the heavens and count the stars. I brought you from the land of Ur to this land to possess it. And Abram was still not satisfied. So cut up a heifer, cut up a goat, cut up a ram, lay all that piles of meat there. And then God took a flaming, I get this right, God took a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch and made barbecue. God gave Abram barbecue. There wasn't a pig, so it wasn't good barbecue, but it was probably all right barbecue. I don't know what kind of sauce there was, but imagine the angel of the Lord standing in front of Abram and saying, "You want crispy, you want chopped, or you want sliced?" God did not answer Abram's question. Sometimes that's just how God is. It wasn't the answer Abram was expecting. God kept pushing, or Abram kept pushing this heir thing. And I like to think that in between the lines left out of Scripture, perhaps after the umpteenth time Abram complained to God, God said to Abram, "Dude, if you want a child, why don't you get together with your wife?" We don't always get the answers we want from God. Sometimes it seems like God isn't even listening. Sometimes that just is how we are. God made a covenant with Abram, a sacred bond that linked the two together forever. God made a covenant with us through Jesus Christ, and we've made a covenant with one another as when we join a church. It's a covenant of justice and love. But that can sometimes seem like just so many words. But those are the words we have. And I believe that truth will prevail against the lies and the guns and the fools and all of those who listen to and act on hate speech. Is that a satisfying response? Probably not, but it's what we have. That and we have barbecue. Maybe it's time for us to not just pray and cry and mourn and sing. Maybe it's time for us to do some heavy lifting. I believe we have to claim the power of Jesus Christ to save the world, even the fools and the guns. Let's do more heavy lifting and convince politicians that we don't need assault weapons or huge clips that go on the assault weapons or high-powered bullets. Let's convince the hate mongers that love is a better way. That's heavy lifting. But I believe that's what God asks of us. Amen.